Hi, everybody. I'm in acne. Becca.
Hey, Becca.
Can everybody hear me? Okay. So I'm not feeling all that well and thought about canceling, but that would be the second time I canceled on this area in the recent months. So I'm going to try to bear with me. I'm going to try to bear with it. And I wasn't nervous until I stood up, and there's like two of you here, so I don't even know why I'm so nervous. So true story, when I was asked to speak, which I want to thank the retreat for asking me to speak. It's always an honor to be asked to carry any kind of message for NA. But when I was asked to speak, I immediately texted my sponsor, and I have a texting relationship with my sponsor. It's every day I talk to her, and once in a while when I feel like it, I call her, and you know, and I get a little lazy with that, you know, and I was texting her. I said, they just asked me to speak on sponsorship. I guess I better be a better sponsee than I am. And her reply was, you're done. And I thought, oh my gosh. And she said, oh my gosh, that's not what I meant. I meant you're fine. So it kind of just gave me this lesson about how sometimes sponsorship through texting does not work. Relationships in general through texting does not work. My girlfriend was telling me that she's in recovery, and she was telling a woman who just came in, newcomer, 19 years old, call me sometime, and she looked at her and said, my generation doesn't call, we text. So I don't know, for anyone out there, you know, you guys are all my age or older, so I don't know, that just kind of challenged me though to not get so lazy about calling my sponsor, and I've been trying to get a little bit more regular about actually picking up the phone and saying hello than texting hello, because you definitely I know as a sponsor, being able to read, between the lines is only something I can do through the phone. I've started fights through texting. Not so much with my sponsor, but with my mom. So, I don't know, that whole experience just kind of made me go, okay, I need to, you know, be connected a little bit more. And, you know, when I first was asked to be a sponsor, I had a little over a year clean. And I had no idea exactly what that meant, you know. And so I bought the sponsorship book because I thought maybe the sponsorship book would tell me how to be a sponsor. Same thing with the pamphlet. I thought maybe if I picked up a pamphlet, it would be able to tell me how to find a sponsor or what I do as a sponsee or what I do as a sponsor. And while both of them are great tools, like it does explain like the diverseness, you know, sponsorship, the idea of sponsorship is just as diverse as you and I are. You know, we all come in here with different backgrounds, different styles of learning, different ways of communicating, and that's the same thing with sponsorship. It's, you know, there's no one way to do sponsorship. The pamphlet talks about how, you know, a sponsor, and I love this part, was pamphlet talks about how a sponsor is someone who is a member of NA and who lives this program. And I, you know, and that word living really just jumps out at me, you know. When I first came into recovery and didn't know, first of all, I was, you know, I was one of those people that came in here with this ideal that sponsorship was stupid, because how could anyone know me better than I knew me? And the trouble with that thought process is that when I don't have a sponsor and I have myself as a sponsor, like I can easily deceive myself, you know. So I wasn't too apt and too excited about getting the sponsor, you know, and working steps or any of that stuff. I figured if I went to meetings and stayed clean, like that was going to be good enough for me. And so probably for several months, I that's how I lived. I went to meetings. I didn't call a sponsor. I had a home group and kind of went to it. But that was like the extent of it. And know, one of my predecessors, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to use your analogy, Phil, but I just loved it a couple weeks ago when I heard him share this, was that, like, you know, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, but it's kind of like a membership to a gym. Like, I regularly donate to Planet Fitness. that's what I call it, you know. I pay monthly. I am a member. But how often do I, like, go there and connect and, like, you know, lift weights and go on the treadmill or go on the elliptical? Like, how much do I do that? And sometimes I'm real good at it. I'm doing it every day or every other day or something like that. And then other days and then other times, like, it's been months since I've utilized my membership. And so being a member of Narcotics Anonymous is, like, all groovy. I can say I'm a member because I say it. You know, I'm a member because I say it. But unless I'm utilizing the tools that this program has given me, like, I'm not going to reap the benefits of Narcotics Anonymous. And sponsorship is a key part of those tools. It's the cornerstone of our fellowship. Mostly just because it's another addict that understands where I've been, and maybe not the same exact situation, but understands the feelings. I really relate it to, you know, when I came in, my grand sponsor would always say, a bottom is not a place you've been, a bottom is a feeling. And, like, the feelings that I feel are the same feelings that you feel when you come in, when we come in here and are just desperate to live a clean life, you know. So, of course, I didn't figure all this out, you know, like, this isn't something I figured out just in one day from getting a sponsor. This is, like, you know, a couple years in retrospect, I go, oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. So when I got into recovery and I skated through by membership only, I was a little crazy. And I was miserable, and I remember showing up at a meeting feeling like using, and a friend of mine, who's also here today, you know, said, so, you clean and crazy, are you? And, you know, and I was crazy because I wanted to, like, deck him, you know. I was so angry at him. Well, I'm not crazy, but, you know, he said, you don't work the steps with a sponsor. You're just the same person. You're just clean and crazy. If you don't work the steps, you're going to use. So I actually, and I was one of those timid people. I was so afraid of, my own shadow, you know, that I really had to use, I really used my home group to help me find my first sponsor. And at the time, really, there was only a few people in the area, and I didn't have a car, so I couldn't really go out and research other areas, but there was only one woman in the area. There was only three women that were, like, able to sponsor. So, and I love that. That's, like, the Hope Shot, because in my area, there's probably 3-4 times that amount of women now that are able to sponsor. So, the Hope Shot is, if you stick around, you too can be a sponsor. And we need them. But anyway, so I asked my home group to point out the sponsor to me, and, and she, and so they picked up, they said, this one, Sherry would be a good one, why don't you call her? And she's actually speaking next Wednesday, why don't you go and listen to her lead? And so I show up at this meeting, and she was sitting at a table, and the whole time she was sharing her story, she was looking at this soda bottle and just peeling the label off of it the whole time. And I don't know why that resonated with me, maybe because I'm just a timid person. This kind of stuff terrifies me, but, like, she had what I wanted. The ability to be able to, like, even like through her fears, to be able to, like, confidently tell her story, you know, which was a lot like mine. And that was really, I don't know. It seems like a weird reason, but, you know, sponsorship pamphlet doesn't really talk about, like, what you should find in a sponsor, and that seemed to be it, you know, for me, at the time. And then we went to Eden Park, and I was also told that, like, you know, basically a sponsor is to guide me through my steps of recovery. And, you know, and if I'm lucky, get guided through, like, the 12 concepts and the 12 traditions as well. Sometimes I think we leave that part out. So I think it's very important to put that part in. Because my sponsor did teach me about service and did get me involved. I didn't even know what area service was. I thought it was, like, I heard the word area service, and I thought it was some, like, community thing where we were going to clean up the streets or something like that, like, pay our dues to society. Like, that's how much I didn't know about NA or what anything meant, you know. But I had a sponsor that said, you know what, I think you need to be GSR of this home group. And don't worry, I'll take you to it, and, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of good bonding came from us driving down the area service together and getting to know one another. But anyway, I'm sorry I'm jumping around. I just thought of that off the top of my head. I wanted to really mention, you know, about the traditions and the concepts too. But anyway, so I'm sitting in Eden Park, and I was told, you know, a sponsor is one to work the steps. Well, then I gotta find out, like, how many steps she's worked, what she's worked, you know, because if she's not working the steps, how is she gonna guide me through the steps? So I ask her, what step are you on? And she says, I'm on steps 1 through 12. And I had no idea what that meant, you know, and I just kind of looked at her like, wow, okay, like, you ride on them every day, what, you know? And she explained to me that living these principles is something that we do in our daily affairs. Living this program, like the pamphlet was talking about, like, is how I recover. You know, because, like, I haven't picked up a drug in quite a while. Clean date, by the way, September 19, 2004. Like, I haven't picked up a drug in a long time, but, you know, I still need solutions from the steps and the traditions, like how to apply those spiritual principles that are found in each one. I need those solutions for everyday life because I have no coping skills. I have no way to cope with life. Before recovery, all I knew how to do was use or use something else, you know. And it's not always, just because I'm clean doesn't mean that I don't use something else to help me feel better about my, you know, whatever's going on. And of course, that is something that I've learned over time, like just how much that meant from her to say that to me that day was that I'm on steps 1 through 12. I didn't really understand it, but I, at the time, but I thought, wow, she really must know what she's talking about. And I don't, so I guess I'll just trust her, you know. It's kind of simple. You know, where am I going to go with this now? I have a half an hour to speak, and I don't know how many minutes I have left, so. that was my experience about, like, getting a sponsor. And working steps with her. And you know, it's the same. And again, it's a diverse thing. We use the step working guide to work through my steps, you know. And it was kind of a cool thing. You know, sponsorship is a two-way street. And so what she would tell me is, like, she never worked the steps through the step working guide. She hadn't worked the steps through the step working guide up until that point. So while I was working them, she was working them with me. And she was getting to share her experience with me on how to apply those questions to, like, now or before, you know, and how it applied in her life and how she got through it in her life. And I find that true today when I'm sponsoring someone, is really getting to learn, reinforcing a lot of stuff, you know. I love it when a sponsee goes through the steps and has those aha moments, those moments that, like, I had, and it just gives me that hope that, you know, that same kind of hope that I used to get. And even, like, understanding the steps a little bit more. Like, it wasn't until I worked a fifth step with a sponsee, and she just looked at me halfway through what she was reading, and she said, I'm starting to notice a lot of patterns here. And I was like, yes, that is the exact nature of our wrongs, is these patterns. You know, And it, like, clicked with me. Like, I mean, you know, my sponsor and I went through a fifth step, and she gave me her experience, and she told me, you know, like, how to look at things. But I don't know why, it just did, for some reason, that part didn't click, like, until I worked it with someone else. So, like, that's, like, the benefit of sponsorship. It's not just about, you know, as a sponsor, it's not just about me helping someone. It's about them helping me. There's been many times that, you know, I've been in my head about something and thinking about acting out. Maybe not picking up, but, you know, 2 years ago I quit smoking. The beginning of the year I had, like, some troubled moments, and I was, like, trying to talk myself into, like, or try to talk myself out of it, I guess, picking up a cigarette, you know, and I really saw no way through it. Like, I was like, I'm driving the sheets, I'm going to buy a pack of cigarettes, and that's going to be it. And then a sponsee calls, and I get in the car when the sponsee calls, and I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get off, or as soon as I get, because I was, like, dope fiending move here, I was going to wait till I got off the phone with my sponsee before I went in and, like, asked for a pack of cigarettes, because I didn't want anyone to know about this, right? You know, so, and she won't get off the phone. She keeps talking, and we keep conversation, and it's not like she was, like, and it was, like, good stuff. It wasn't like a, you know, like, she's not in the solution or whatever. It was, a lovely spiritual conversation I was having. And at the end, she said, well, I don't know if you felt better, but I do. And I said, well, you just kept me from buying a pack of cigarettes. I'm good for the rest of the night. Thanks, you know. And that's how, like, that works, you know, for me, is that you never know when you're going to help someone else by reaching out. And I used to be so scared of that. I remember my first 420 clean, because I'm, like, a huge hippie, you know. My first 420 clean, like, I didn't know how I was going to get through it, right? And I thought, this is stupid to call my sponsor about this. Like, you know, it's just, it's small stuff. Like, who thinks about that stuff? You know, and I remember, like, picking up that 500-pound phone and talking to her about it, and you know, and she talked me through it, she had this funny little, like, my sponsor was always one that just, like, I don't know, there was something about her that always, like, just any use of humor or whatever just, you know, got me out of myself for a minute or made me feel comfortable, you know, and it was, I mean, because it doesn't always have to be about, like, the literature says and this and that. Like, sometimes it's just, like, I need to have a human conversation and some human contact. And I remember calling her up, and she was like, hey, I have a box of grapes in my refrigerator. And I'm like, all right. And she goes, you know what, it's labeled? And I said, no. She said, oh, yeah, how did I say it? I messed that up. She said, hey, I found raisins in my refrigerator. I'm like, okay, great. And she said, you know how they were labeled? I'm like, what? Grapes. There was a box of grapes that turned into raisins in my refrigerator. And it was just one of those things that made me feel a little bit better. It made me feel a little bit more comfortable talking to her. I can't explain that. but anyway, you know, and the thing about sponsorship is, like, I had to get another sponsor just because, like, I had gotten comfortable in not calling her. I decided it was time to move on, get someone that I was a little bit more comfortable, like, that was going to be a little bit on me for calling. And so at this point, like, I can search outside my area, you know, and get a sponsor, and I got one that lives an hour away. And what I love about my current sponsor is, like, you know, when she gives me an assignment, like, she does it herself too, like, right then she'll do it. And that's really important for me to remember that, like, when I'm giving an assignment or helping sponsees find a solution, like, I have to be willing to put that kind of footwork in too. It's not like a don't tell me, show me kind of thing. it's very important for me to live by example. And, you know, we are all human and we all make mistakes, but, like, I have to keep that in mind that, like, I'm setting an example for my sponsees. I was at this meeting a couple weeks ago and we were talking about, like, it's really hard for me not to, like, tell people, like, what they should do. Like, you know, I got a sponsee that has boy problems. She's a newcomer and all that stuff. And I'm like, first of all, you shouldn't be hanging out with the boys. You should be, like, hanging out with the girls. Girl power. Woo-ha. You know? Woo-ha. But, like, I didn't do that kind of stuff, so why should I expect anyone else to do? Like, sponsorship for me, it's very important that I have to, that I share my experience, not my opinion on what you should do. I should share my experience and I should share what the literature says, you know. So while I can't say, like, you shouldn't be hanging out with, like, the boys, like, leave the boys alone, I can say, like, listen, this is the benefit of getting some women in your life, you know, and maybe you won't want to pay attention to the boys so much, you know. And sometimes as someone that's been around for a while, I kind of forget where I came from. Like, I kind of forget, like, I don't forget about the pain that brought me here. Like, I still remember that last day using like it was yesterday. But sometimes I forget about what it's like to be a newcomer in here. You know, I forget how overwhelming it would be to have to pay bills or to grocery shop. Like, standing in a grocery store going, I have no idea what to buy. You know, I was so proud the first time I grocery shopped, I got like cheese and pasta and bread, and I was like, I can make like 3 meals out of this, you know. But I forget about that stuff. I forget about how the littlest stuff could like overwhelm me. I forget about that lack of willingness. Like, I forget about how I didn't want to sponsor when I first got here and how I didn't want to work the steps and like all that stuff. Like, I forget about that stuff. I forget about what it was like the day that pink cloud dissipated and I was like, oh man, I gotta go to these meetings the rest of my life. You know? What I've been realizing lately, like, sponsorship, it's so important for me, like, with newcomers that I sponsor, to, like, be on their level. It's all about, it's anonymity. You know, I'm no better than anyone in here just because I have a couple 24 hours together. I just have some experience and I know what's worked for me and I can share it with you. But I can't like pick on your lack of willingness or your stupidity. Like, sometimes I think what people do are stupid, you know, but I can't like, but I can't voice that. I have to keep that inside and I have to take that anonymity principle seriously, and be on their level and be like, you know what? We'll find a solution. You know, how about you read the pamphlet, Self-Acceptance? Maybe you'll come to an answer. Or how about you write a pros and cons list about whatever decision you want to get to? Or how about you pray for this person and let's see how you feel about them tomorrow? Like, that's, you know, for me, that's what the important role as a sponsor is today, is like, not, because I've never been a tough person. Like, if you want me to sponsor, I'm not going to scream at you and yell at you and be like all strict. Like, you put in your recovery what you want to get out of it. That's how both of my sponsors are, you know, and that's just the way I am. But I will say that over the years, I don't know how it happened, but like, I guess just because I come around for a little bit, I see people going in and out and I get a little discouraged, you know, and I get a little like, you know, frustrated, and I let those frustrations come out and I'm not being compassionate or spiritual, you know. So what I have to learn, so what I'm trying to work on today, and I kind of realized that when, this topic got brought up in a meeting a couple weeks ago about like being at their level and the anonymity thing. Like, I have to really, as a sponsor, be loving and compassionate and spiritual, and know where to direct, you know, someone to the literature, and know how to, you know, help come to a solution. You know, I had a sponsee call me a couple of weeks ago and say, I need your advice on something. I said, I can't give you advice, but I can help you come to a solution. You know, because if anything that pamphlet, you know, like the pamphlet doesn't tell you what a sponsor is specifically, but it does tell me what a sponsor is not specifically. And that is a therapist, a professional counselor, a banker, a marriage counselor, a couple other things in there. Like, sponsorship is merely just, it's sharing our experiences and journey through this thing we call recovery. I don't know. And I have to be honest, when I was asked to speak on this, I was kind of like struggling with the sponsorship thing for a while, for a little bit, you know. And not for any, you know, just, I'm just going to leave it at that. I've been struggling with the sponsorship thing for a while. There's several reasons, you know. But being able to, like, revisit that pamphlet, I didn't read the book. That book's been in my bookcase for a while, and I'm not that I'm disregarding that book, because it does, like, help you understand how diverse NA is, you know, and that is, like, the takeaway for me. But I'm grateful I got asked to speak, because, like, it helped me remember, like, what my role is as a sponsee, as a sponsor, and how, like, really what this is a journey together. My first sponsor, I'll end with this, my first sponsor, you know, always put things into terms that I could understand, and she would say to me, she said to me one time, I'm your tour guide. All right. She said, have you ever been to Africa? I said, no. She said, okay, so let's just say I'm your tour guide to Africa. You've never been there. You don't know paths. You don't know the language. You don't know the things that are going to give you rashes. You don't know, like, you know, like customs, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm here to show you how to get through it without, like, getting harmed. And so I think my higher power for people that have been my tour guide, and it's not just my sponsors, but my predecessors and even people that come after me that have shared their journey with me. And wow, I talked longer than I thought I would. So thank you all for being here, and I love you.
Thanks. I'm an addict named Tim.
Hey, Tim.
I'd like to give a round of applause. I saw unity in action here with the members trying to get the fire going. So good job. We have a little heat here, you know. Thanks, everybody. Kind of sets the mode a little bit, you know. So it's nice to have a fire in front of us, and I appreciate your willingness to do that, you know. It's amazing what we can do when we come together, you know. I saw that simply in action here, so it's good, you know. Unity in action, huh? You know? And same thing like with sponsorship. Now, we don't do this by ourselves. You know, it's a we program. I stay clean. I get high. We stay clean kind of thing. You know, and it's important for me to be able to reach out and get other experience from other people. You know, sponsorship indeed is a cornerstone of this fellowship. It's how traditions and things have been handed down, you know. I've kind of been reminiscing a lot, thinking about this topic the last day or so, you know? Yeah, and it's made me think about a lot of different things and experiences. You know, I like the example that Becca was talking about, the tour guide in Africa, because, you know, when I first got here, when I first got clean, I knew nothing about how to stay clean, you know? I got out of an institution, and all I knew, that I didn't want to get high anymore. I wasn't sure about, like, all the suggestions that they told me. But what I did that day was I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. You know, and I went to that meeting, and I had a very positive experience. I was warmly welcomed, and I saw some people there that I knew from the streets, and it gave me some hope. You know, that if these punk asses were staying clean, I mean, he had like 90 days, you know? And it was a miracle. I'll never forget this guy, and he's got many years now, you know. And, you know, it was a good example for me to see this. And I asked him, some of the people that I was comfortable with at that meeting, about, like, what's this sponsorship stuff about? And so they said, you know what, let's introduce you to some people and get some numbers. So I got some numbers with these people, and I had this piece of paper with people's numbers on. Big deal, you know, really. I had no idea who any of these people were. But there was this one dude who I saw sometimes at meetings. He always came, he looked pretty professional, you know. He was well kept, and he looked like he knew something. And so I tried to find out a little bit about this dude, and I found out he was an attorney. And I had a lot of legal problems. And my attorney was costing me a lot of money that I didn't have. So I thought, this is the sponsor for me. Makes sense, right? You know? I didn't know about this going through steps and traditions or guiding me through that. I had no idea about that. If you told me, I disregarded it. I was worried about keeping my butt out of trouble and out of jail at that time. So I asked the dude, would you please be my sponsor? Would you have the honor of sponsoring me, please? Is probably what I was thinking, you know? But I said to him, would you please be my sponsor? Because, you know, I thought it would be a treat for him to have the honor of sponsoring me, of course. And I remember one of the first times we met, it was in Oxford Center, in that food court in Oxford Center, you know? And we met there for coffee. And I had a bunch of stuff that I needed to, like, ask him about. It was all my legal stuff, you know? And you know what? He was kind and generous with me. But, like, he tried to guide me as best as he could. I got to say, though, that the relationship of sponsorship in this case didn't last a whole long time, you know? I got some free legal advice out of it, though, let me tell you, you know? We can still be good manipulators and all. But the truth of the matter is, sponsorship is to guide me through the steps and traditions and concepts of the fellowship. And, you know what? I've had a lot of great relationships with sponsors. It's amazing because, you know what? When I first maybe started that relationship, my first time was, this is my first day, the way I was able to experience some trust with another dude, you know? I was able to share some stuff and get some suggestions about life things that I might be going through as well. Always solution-oriented, you know? I even developed such bond with some of the, you know, guys that were my sponsors in the past. The one dude in particular, he was quite an example of how to live in recovery for me at the time, you know? And I really watched him. And you know what? The dude even, you know, early on, I had lost everything. I didn't have a job. I had all this idle time. And there was a couple months that I didn't have nothing to do. I didn't know what to do with myself, you know? So he took me with him to this job in Ohio. We would get up like early in the morning and drive to this place in Ohio where he was refurbishing cabooses from trains, you know? The end of a train caboose thing. You know what those are, right? Them old, you know? And he was refurbishing these things. And I had no idea why or what or anything. And I would like wind up the extension cords. I was like the gopher guy, you know? But, like, it was real humbling. But what it did for me was it got me out of myself, gave me something to do, and there was a couple hours in the car, we got to talk to each other and got to form a bond. We developed a relationship. You know, eventually, the dude even got married. You know, he married some woman, and he asked me to be best man in his wedding, you know? And it was one of the most fun weddings we had. There was no alcohol or other drugs or anything like that there. And we had a blast, you know. We danced all night, and you know, it was a good time, you know. So it's nice to have those positive memories too of sponsors in the past. I also got to say that my experience with sponsorship has been valuable, you know. When I really look at it over the years, I think that's probably the single most thing that's kept me anchored to this fellowship. You know, we talk about service, staying in the middle and service. But you know what? Really, when I start to disseminate and kind of like go through the experiences of service, you know, yeah, I did H&I. I've been in area, home group, all those different service things. But my service in being a sponsor has probably kept me more connected to this fellowship than anything else. And that's probably what's kept me here and involved more than anything else, too. You know? The other positions have come and gone and different things. But I've always had somebody to sponsor and guide through steps and traditions. And it's hard for me, you know. You know what? I'm just not like a hypocrite guy. I'm not going to tell you to do something that if it's not working, if I'm not able to do it either. You know? But when I'm able to, like, sit down and, you know, talk to somebody about steps and traditions, I too get a whole lot of stuff from that, you know? It's interesting because I've learned over the years a whole lot of stuff, you know? And the one thing that I've learned is, like, one thing doesn't work for everybody. There's no cookie-cutter kind of thing in sponsorship. We all have different learning styles, too, you know? How I learn something may not be your experience in learning, you know? Some people are copious writers, and they write very, very well and descript and all that. Not me. I'm a bullet point kind of guy. This is it. You know, let me get to the meat of the issue. And that's my, you know, style. I would rather have that kind of stuff and have some dialogue. That's important for me to have that dialogue. But everybody else has had different experiences. And that's taught me a whole lot of stuff, too, about interpersonal relationships with people, you know? I guess the tough lessons, too, that I've learned is that I don't keep anybody clean. I'm not powerful enough to keep anybody clean. You know? I can remember the first dude I sponsored, one of the first guys I sponsored that had, like, some struggled and went on. You know? And I felt like I was pretty much a failure. You know? I did. I kind of, like, was beating myself up. I was, you know, disappointed. And, you know, my sponsor and some of my predecessors told me, it's not up to you, you know. I kind of thought it was, though. You know, I thought it was my responsibility or my duty, you know, to kind of protect and guide and, you know, mentor and all that, you know. In some ways, yeah, but it's not my responsibility what other people do. It's up to them, you know. And I, too, you know, like you back, I'm not a hardcore rah-rah-rah kind of sponsor. You know, that doesn't work for me. We were talking on the ride out here today about sponsorship. It was a real good discussion. I thank you for that, you know, Jason. It was good. And it put me in the frame of mind that I needed to be for tonight. But, you know, if I had a sponsor that was telling me what to do and dictating and being a control freak, I'd do just the opposite. I wouldn't do it, you know. That's not my style either in sponsoring people, you know. It's up to you to make your own mistakes. No one's perfect. We're all going to be human. I don't expect perfection, you know. You know, and we don't, you know, my sponsees don't hire me, so I don't fire them, you know. This is a bunch of crap, I think, you know. I'm not that powerful to, you know, fire somebody. Who the heck do I think I am, you know? I need to be there no matter what. You know what? My sponsor years ago told me, you know what? This is very important. You're taking the life of somebody else into your own hands, sort of, you know? And so I'm not going to shove somebody to the curb just because they're not following my suggestions. How egotistical of me. I'm not going to be that person. Sorry. You know, it's up to you. And if you need to move on, please do. I mean, we all grow each other and things happen and life goes on, you know. And we can still remain friends, you know, no matter what. But I don't believe in this firing stuff, you know. I believe, in my experience, that if you're not taking suggestions and practicing steps and traditions in your life, we have this natural way of kind of just falling apart and moving on or something, you know. I don't play God anymore. Sorry, guys. I gave that up long ago, you know. Not up to me. And sponsor definitely is a two-way street. Now, sometimes I honestly think I get more from the experience than the guys I sponsor, you know, which is good. You know, I think, too, over time, my need for a sponsor has changed a lot, you know. Early on, you know, maybe I needed a whole lot of guidance with, you know, explanation of steps and things and just general, you know what, general do's and don'ts. I can remember, you know, I didn't know how to share appropriately at meetings. A lot of people still don't, you know? But that's a whole nother topic. You know, but my sponsor would gently grab me after the meeting, not in front of everybody, but quietly say, you know what, you probably shouldn't have said it like that. Or if I were you next time, I would blah, 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 you know? And so it gave me some information, some ammunition to use the next time. And so I became a more, hopefully, appropriate person sharing at meetings, you know? I think the example, too, you know, he was able to show me, not just tell me, you know? And that's a big thing, you know, because I watch how people live, you know? And that's, I think, the most important thing, to be a valuable, to have a positive a figure with a good experience to follow. Sponsorship. You know, the other thing too that really, really like is, I tell you, you get clean and you get feelings and you go through a range of emotions, and sometimes from day to day, my emotions can go all kind of crazy, you know. And sometimes I feel very like close and happy to people that I'm sponsoring, you know. But then there's other times that like, I've buried sponsees, you know. You know, and had to talk to their families, and you know, it hurts so bad. You know, 2 weeks ago, a guy I used to sponsor, who never made it back, you know, died from this disease, you know, with a wife and 4 kids. You know, it hurts. It hurts no matter what. You know, it hurts. But like I said, I know that I can't keep anybody clean. All I can do is share a little bit of my experience, strength, and hope to them. And if they want it, it's up to them what they're going to do with it. You know, I can't dictate that. But it really is sometimes tragic. That's life, you know? That's life, you know? And you know, but we get through it together today, too. You know, I got a lot of guys in my life that, you know, helped me get through the tough times. You know, my sponsor a number of years ago said to me, we were talking about something, and we were talking about this on the way out. And I don't know, we were talking about stuff and people, and he says, you know, to me, how many guys do you sponsor? I said, I don't know. I don't count them. I never have counted anybody, you know. Sometimes, honestly, when I'm bored in a meeting, I'll, like, count how many guys I sponsor in a meeting. You know, some other people have done that, too, you know. There's 3 here tonight, you know, whatever, you know. And it just kind of keeps me entertained. But I never really, you know, take count. To me, it's not a numbers game or not a prestigious thing, you know. I said to him that I really don't know how many people I sponsor. And I said, you know what, sometimes I feel like I'm sponsoring whoever I'm talking to, whoever I'm working with today. You know? Becca, you might call me about something, what step you're on. And we might talk after a meeting about that step. You know, so in an indirect way, I'm kind of sponsoring you today. You know? And so, from time to time, I might be sponsoring people and don't even know it. You know? So it's important for me to be the best positive example of NA that I can possibly be. That's what I tell some people, too. A lot of times, new people will ask me, how do I find a sponsor? How do I find a good sponsor? How do I find a sponsor for me? That's a tough question to answer, for real, you know? I mean, we can guide people. We kind of think maybe somebody might be good, you know? But you never know. So what I do is I say, you know what? Get somebody's phone number that you think might work and try to use it for a sponsor. But don't tell them. Don't tell them. Like, use it as a trial basis. This temper, everything's temper. I don't know about temper. That's all, you know, if you want a temper, yeah, I guess you can do it. But everything's temporary. But you know what? If you want some, you know, if you think somebody, like, might work, you got this inkling, try to use them. Try to, like, quiz them. See, like, if they got some experience and some knowledge about some stuff. Throw something and test it for a while. And maybe it'll work for you, you know. I see a lot of people, unfortunately, jump, you know, and be overzealous and find, like, the wrong person for them, you know. And then they're a little bit upset and they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And you know what? It's up to us, though. You know, this is my recovery. It's up to me who's going to be guiding me in my life, not anybody else, you know. I don't believe in choosing sponsors for other people. All I can do is really guide you, you know. I know sometimes people will say, this is the guy that's the gal that's whoever's going to be your sponsor, and this is it. That's a bunch of crap. You know, this is my recovery. What's going to work for me is up to me, and I take ownership in that today. Good, bad, or indifferent. And is it starting to rain? No? I'm getting all wet here. That's okay. I'm not going to melt or nothing. But you know what? Sponsorship, too. I had a laugh because I brought the book up, Sponsorship. Has anybody ever read that book? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. I have not. I've tried to, but never got through it. And I was doing a poll in the, over at the lodge and asking people, you know. At least it got me a chance to pull it off the bookshelf and dust it off a little bit, you know. And as I was leafing through it like I did before, there is some good stuff, but it's not the best thing for me to be reading, you know. Here comes my Winnebago. All right. Pulling up, huh? I hope the coffee's on. But the IP is another thing, the sponsorship IP. I give that to a lot of guys that I see come to my home group, you know, that are asking about sponsorship. You know, I can chat a little bit with them about my experience with sponsorship, but here, why don't you take this and read this and check it out, because this tells you a little bit what you're asking. You know, like you said, the literature is where it's at. So if I can, you know, give somebody a piece of literature that's easy to read, you know, and then maybe we'll have some dialogue next week about it or whatever. But, yeah, sponsorship is valuable, real valuable. But like I said, my need for sponsorship has changed. You know, my sponsorship today guides me in different ways, you know. Actually, the sponsor that I have now is a great guy, you know, but I don't see him a whole lot. Sometimes I feel like I need somebody more face-to-face, you know? Like, I need that. I would rather have more interpersonal communication face-to-face. It just works for me a little bit better, but it is what it is for now. Wow, I just had something wise I was going to say, and I don't remember what the hell it was. Hate when that happens. I don't know. But yeah, it is this two-way street, you know? Damn. I've developed some real good relationship with some guys I sponsor. And then there's some other guys that I don't have a relationship with at all. You know, I don't even know a whole hell of a lot about some of the people I sponsor. And that's okay. That's up to them. You know, we kind of, it's almost like a, I don't know. It's hard to describe. Like, there's guys I sponsor who I'm real tight with, you know, and we can hang out and do stuff or, you know, watch a game or talk about whatever and blah, blah, blah. And plus, we do this recovery together. And then there's some other guys that I just sponsor. That's it. And that's okay. That's okay, you know. I think sometimes people, you know, I talked to a couple of guys that I sponsor recently, and they kind of compare relationships with each other. Like, how come you're closer to Timmy than I am and stuff like that? Well, you know what? The thing is, you got to be, like, invested in a relationship to be close. If you're not spending time with me, it's kind of hard to be close to me. You know, it makes sense, right? It's just like any other kind of relationship, you know, for real, you know. I think it's kind of funny that they compare notes, you know. What do you do with you on this step, you know? But it's kind of like an informal system. So it kind of works even when it's not working. You know what I mean? So when I'm sponsored, when I'm not really guiding people openly, maybe my sponsees are doing it for each other. Does that make sense to you? You know? I remember my sponsor giving me some suggestions, like for some step stuff. And two things that really stick out, and I share this sometimes at meetings, is the one dude was my sponsor for a long, long time, and he said, you know what, I was on second step, and he says, Timmy, I want you to find an NA now, you know, where I come from. I moved to Greensburg, and there was only two NA meetings there at the time, and there was probably like six people at a big NA meeting, you know, and half of those people were A&A people or something, you know, and, but anyways, my sponsor said, I want you to find four or five people in NA whose recovery you respect, and ask them about their process of coming to believe. Well, it took me probably 2 months to find some people whose recovery I respected to begin with, you know. But I was able to search out some people. And I asked them about their process of coming to believe. And you know what? All along, and I was real reluctant, and I thought, this is so hokey and corny. Like, why am I doing this? You know? I was almost embarrassed to ask people. I really was, I didn't think this was something I needed to do. You know? I did it reluctantly eventually. And what it did was open my eyes to the possibilities that this isn't a one-sided Christian kind of fellowship. That we all have different belief systems. And how wide and diversified these beliefs can be. And you know what? In that diversity lies our strength in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been able to take eclectically what works in your spiritual belief. And if I choose to use it in mine too. You know? Doesn't matter if you're Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Buddha. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. You know? Doesn't matter to me. And after that time, I had this thing about, we can't close the meeting anymore with the Lord's Prayer. And I took that to my home group. You know, because I thought that this was not being open to people of other belief systems. You know? And the other thing like that stands out in the step kind of a realm was four step. I was writing an inventory and my sponsor gave me these old copies. They're probably mimeographed. It was so old. You know, not if anybody even remembers what a mimeograph is. I hardly do. But they were like old copies of these papers and they were forms and you had to put stuff, you had to write on these forms and they were confusing as hell to me. You know, I couldn't do them. I had a really difficult time conforming and writing on these forms. And then when I found out they were from some other place, I really had a tough time writing and conforming to these forms. And I talked to my sponsor, and he suggested that I talk to some other people. And you know what? I got some guidance. And a couple dudes who were my predecessors at the time, we went out for coffee, and we only had the basic text, and we read some stuff in there together, and they gave me some outlines on what they did and how their experience was writing four forms without the forms, without the mimeographed things that I didn't want to use, you know. And it worked for me. It worked real well, and I was able to proceed, you know. So my point being, I guess, is sometimes if I get stuck, you know, maybe my sponsor isn't going to have all the answers. I know sure as hell I don't have all the answers, but I'm able to guide other people to maybe other members who can give the answers and solutions to them, you know. And that's what's great about the diversity in this fellowship, too, that we're able to collectively help each other, you know. You know, what's that saying? It takes a village. The same thing with sponsorship sometimes. I can't be the exclusive person in anybody's life, you know. I really don't want to be. It takes all of us together, collectively. And I think that's important to remember. So if you don't have a sponsor, get one, I guess, huh? And that's probably a good suggestion. Hopefully you'll get somebody that you can relate to and help guide you through the steps and traditions. The traditions have helped me immensely in my life outside of Narcotics Anonymous, and the steps have truly changed me as a person today, you know. I don't get too impressed by people who can come up and quote literature and know what page and what book to read. Some people love that, and that works for them. For me, it doesn't matter. Tell me how you're living it. What works for you? How did you incorporate? How are you living that stuff today? What are you doing with your life? How did this make you change? Tell me about, like, unity in your family, in your community today. What are you doing to incorporate this stuff? Not just in a meeting. Outside of the meeting. This is where the magic happens. I've been able to learn a whole hell of a lot of stuff in NA. In service, you know, what's that? Parliamentary procedures, how to conduct the meeting, different things like that. The home group, you know, group conscience that I take into my professional life today. You know, I've learned so much here in the proving ground of Narcotics Anonymous, and I've been able to be guided by my sponsors in those things too. You know, they've been able to tell me what to do and sometimes what not to do. You know, it's up to me to be open and willing and honest. You know, some spiritual principles. If I'm incorporating that stuff in my relationship with my sponsor and the people that I sponsor and everybody else in my life, you know what? It's going to be pretty harmonious. It works pretty well like that. So I think I'm about out of everything to say. It's been an honor to speak here today. I love coming to the Unity Retreat. And thank you.